Joshua 10, 12 to 14, if you read it, you know, it means it can inspire you to ask for something that nobody has ever asked for. This was the summary of the first day of the Congress. I don't know whether you had the opportunity of listening to it. The great turnaround. The first, these are the, just the three prayer points that the GO raised. Joshua 10 to 12. Joshua said, look, moon, stay where you are. Don't come out. Don't hurry. Don't be in a hurry to come out today. I know you're supposed to be coming out around 7 p.m., but you have to stay. Oh, you sun, you cannot set at 6 p.m. today. You cannot set at 6 p.m. Nobody has ever asked for it, for such a thing. And it's happened. Then Acts 19, 11 to 12. Paul, the handkerchief of Paul and his apron begin to heal people. I don't think it has ever happened before. Okay. Somebody touched the hems of the garment of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he has to touch that hem. Not that the garment was sent to him. No. But in the case of Paul, handkerchief and garment and apron was sent to people who were sick. And they were getting healing. Extraordinary things. Then in Matthew 4, 14, 23 to 33, talks about becoming an history maker. If you read it, Matthew 14, 23 to 33. You know, so those three prayer points are what we are going to pray. For number one, inspire me to ask for something nobody has ever asked for. Go ahead and talk to God. Lord, inspire me. Inspire me, Lord. Inspire me to ask for something that, Father, this is Christmas. I need a Christmas gift. I need end of the year gift. I need New Year gift. Three gifts. Some of us are celebrating our birthday. We also need birthday gift. Inspire me, Lord, to ask for something that nobody has ever asked for. Number two, translate me from being ordinary to extraordinary, Lord. I don't want to be an ordinary pastor. I was praying this morning. I was meditating this morning. I started asking myself, Father, give me the power that when I pass by a dead body, that dead body will wake. I don't need to touch. You know, that dead body will just wake up. It's possible. Do you think it's not possible? It is possible. We had a testimony of one of our daddies, one of our pastors. They brought the dead body to his church. And in his heart, I asked them, why can't these people just take this? Why are they giving me trouble? They should have taken this man to the mortuary or to the hospital. What? But God told him, just touch. So he asked everybody to close their eyes. They brought the dead body, and then he touched as everybody closed their eyes. And the dead body woke. And the man said he has confidence. Confidence arose in him. I said, is there any dead person in the house? Translate me from being an ordinary to extraordinary, Lord. And then in Matthew 14, 23 to 33, Jesus fed 5,000 people with just five loaves of bread and two fishes. And it make history. Father, inspire me to become an history maker. You imagine they just lay down a dead body. They said, okay, it's time for visitation. And we are just passing by. Everybody's passing by. And you two pass by. And the dead body just woke. You are the one who know why that dead body is awakening. Others will run away. But will you run? No. When Jesus called out Lazarus from the grave, many people thought everybody just stood there, you know, looking at Jesus. Everybody just stood there looking at Lazarus coming out. My brother, many people took to their feet. Bekelele, what is this? We've never seen something like this before. And that was why the fame
But Jesus Christ never ran away because he knew he was. So when you pass by a dead body and the dead body arose, you will be the one who knows where the power is coming from. Other people will run away, but the glory will go to God. Make me an history maker, Lord. Remember me, Father, in this season. Thank you, Father. Lord Almighty, I present myself before you this morning. I pray, oh Lord, that I will not speak of myself, but will speak of you. Let only your word do something meaningful in our lives this morning, in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor, the destiny helper is here for me this morning. Destiny helper is here for me this morning. Genesis 30:22-23. God has remembered me. Tell your neighbor, God has remembered me. God has remembered me. The Lord will never forget you. In every area of your life that you are trusting God for breakthrough, God remembers you this afternoon. Say a better amen. Amen. God has remembered you. We are already in afternoon already. This is 12:05. God will remember you. God has remembered me. Talk to yourself. God has remembered me. Genesis 30:22-23. And God remembered Rachel. And God hearkened to her and opened her womb. And she conceived and bare a son and said, God has taken away my reproach. God is taking away somebody's reproach this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. As this year rolls away, your reproach is rolling away in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Look, I want this to sink down into our soul, into our heart, into our being, into our mind. And let it become our heartbeat. Let it fill every breath in our lungs and in our bodies. Let it course through our bloodstream. God has remembered me. The word is very interesting. God has remembered you. Say amen. In Genesis 30:22, that passage that we read, the Bible says, and God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened to her and opened her womb. Let me insert another word by saying, and God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened to her, and God opened her womb. So, it's not just, and God remembered Rachel, God hearkened to her, God opened her womb. Let's put the word and there, so that it becomes three different sentences. And God remembered Rachel, that's number one. Number two, and God hearkened to her, number three, and God opened her womb. God will remember somebody this morning. Amen. God will hearken to you. Amen. God will open your womb. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus. Your spiritual womb shall be opened. Amen. Your physical womb shall be opened. Amen. Your financial womb shall be opened. Amen. For God shall remember you. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus. Every time you see this phrase, and God, in quote, and God, it means that he is making an entrance into a place or a situation, and that God is getting involved. Look at Psalm 24, verse 7. Lift up your hands, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall do what? Shall come in. So it means when God remembered Rachel and hearkened unto her, God opened her womb. You may be tempted to think that the word or that verse is speaking of memory. However, brethren, God is not suffering from amnesia. That scripture and other scriptures like that speak about memories. Are only making a statement about seasons and a confirmation of a time. So, it is that God entered a season that was set for Rachel. Situation to be turned around. And Rachel received a great turnaround. You will receive a great turnaround in your life in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. 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 It means to mention a person. Remember, the word remembrance
means to mention a person to another at any timely greeting. Do you remember so, so, and so? Okay? So that means it came to pass that at Rachel's appointed time and season, the Bible says God opened her womb. That's the womb we read. So something shall be opened in our lives. Every door that the enemy has closed shall be opened in our lives in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Brethren, let's look at instances where God remembered people in the Bible. Genesis 8:1 says, Genesis 8:1, instances where God remembered someone. For God is going to remember you this morning. God is going to remember you today. God is going to remember you before this year runs out.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
Genesis 8:1. God remembered Noah. When God remembers you, he brings an end to the flood of judgment of frustration. Say amen. God, the flood was becoming frustrating for Jonah. Sorry, for Noah. You know, himself, his family, and the animals was in that ark 40 days. And I'm sure all the so-called resources that they have in terms of food must have been running out. Yet the water refused to go down. But the Bible says, when God remembered Noah, that flood went down. God will remember you.
Amen.
Every flood of judgment or frustration, God remembers you today.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus. Are you having any anxiety? Is there any case pending against you? God is remembering you this morning.
Amen.
Look at Genesis 19:29. The Bible says God remembered Abraham. So Lot was delivered because Abraham was delivered. You remember that? So when God remembers you, he brings deliverance to you and your loved ones. Praise the Lord. I pray that before the end of this month, you will receive a message that your loved ones are delivered from danger and calamity in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
You yourself will be delivered from evil dreams in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Evil dreams, evil revelation will never come to pass.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Number 3. And God remembered Rachel. So when God remembers you, it terminates reproach and shame. Amen? Whatever constitutes reproach, shame in your life comes to an end this season in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Regardless of whether it is the reproach of singleness, reproach of poverty, reproach of joblessness, or frustration at work, God is remembering you this season in the mighty name of Jesus. When God remembered Rachel, her reproach was taken away. Your reproach shall be taken away.
Amen.
Number 4, when God remembers you, he grants you supernatural openings. God opened Rachel's womb. A door can open because you are remembered. A closed destiny can be opened up spiritually because you are remembered. God will remember you. Remember the case of Mordecai. He was there as a gate man, frustrated. Somebody was frustrating him, you know. That guy was frustrating him, Hagan. Hagan expected him that whenever he comes around as the chief of staff, as the chief of staff to the king, Mordecai and his brethren must stand up and worship him. And the guy said, I don't worship man. I worship only one true God. And because of that, Hagan planned to kill him. And Abraham has the ears of the king. Anything he tells the king will do. Can you imagine that? Haman, yeah. Haman. Not Hagan, Haman. But suddenly, God remembered Mordecai. And the table was turned. And there was a great turnaround. That you will be a great turnaround in your life in the mighty name of Jesus. Because God will remember you. Amen. Again, when God remembers you, he fulfills age-long expectations. Age-long expectations. Long Long time ago, God gave me a revelation. When I was newly born again, I was not a worker. You know, what I enjoy most is the praise worship, so I don't miss the praise worship. Although that time they also put me in a believer's class. That believer's class, you know what I do? Once I come to the church like this, I first of all scout around that my teacher is not around. I'll be very happy. So immediately after the service like this, I will just run away. Pyam. And he started looking for me. Then I have my readymade and said, my teacher was not around now. They said, look, brother, whether your teacher is around or not, you must always wait for believer's class. I know why. It's because I was trying to run away. I know where this thing is going to think. I have vowed that any church I join now, I'm not going to be a worker. I just want to be an ordinary member of the church. Any church. Because I knew that things are gradually changing. I knew. I've even been praying before I became born again, that the way things are going in this my present church, I may have to leave. But God, when I leave this church, take me to another church where I will just be an ordinary member. I don't want to be a worker. But you know, redeem. Once you become born again like this, they don't waste time. They just usher us into the, you know, believer's class. And I knew where that class was going. Ah! So I started running away. God will remember you. Amen. But God remembered me always. They will know that I was not at believer's class. And the next thing is that before the end of that day, I either see them in my house or the second day. Ah, brother, I did reading. I said, hey, but my teacher was not around. He said, look, your teacher not been around, you know, does not make you not to wait for believer's class. Amen. Now, what are the things that are likely to happen when God remembers someone? Number one, God will open every door closed by the enemy. Amen. Every door the enemy has closed begins to open. And I decree and declare to someone this morning, every door shall be opened unto you right now in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
The Bible said, God hearkened unto her and opened her womb. God will hearken unto you.
Amen.
He will open your womb.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
When God remembers a man, number two, when God remembers a man or a woman, he will bring an end to every bondage, and he will deliver him or her from the hands of tax masters. If you read Exodus 3, 6 to 10, and God remembered, you know, the children of Israel. And God remembered them. God will remember you. Number three, when God remembers someone, he will relocate them from a place of dissolution to a place of recognition. God will just relocate you where you are, a place where you have been abandoned, where you have been trampled upon. God will now take you to a place where you can be recognized. I pray God will recognize you in the mighty name of Jesus. 2 Samuel 9:1-7. Remember this son of Saul, son of Jonathan, a grandson of Saul, Mephibosheth. Before he was remembered, he had been forgotten in an isolated place called Lodiba. If you read that passage, you will see it. Read 2 Samuel 9:1-7. Lodiba, he was forgotten there. Everything about him was forgotten. He's even forgotten that his father was once a king. But when God remembered him, we all know what happened. God will remember you. Say amen. When God remembers a man, it is a time of favor. Not by power, nor by might, but by what? My spirit says, Lord. Zechariah 4:6. In the time of favor, God is essentially saying it is time to bless or promote you. Pray that God will relocate you. Because the Bible in Psalm 102:13 says, thou shalt arise and have do what? And have mercy upon Zion. God will have mercy upon you.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
When God remembers a man, a season will change. Job was afflicted for a reason, season. But God remembered him. And the season changed from affliction to what? to joy. If you remember, Job 42, 12. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camel, and 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 she asses. Can you imagine? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And the question is that, what makes God to remember someone? Let me conclude with that. What makes God to remember someone? 1 Samuel 1:18 to 19. It was noted in that passage that Hannah's countenance was no more sad, after which there was a knowing of her by her husband and made God to remember her. There has been knowings between them in the past, and these knowings no children. One thing she did differently was that she received and blessed the word of God. Because of that, her countenance was no more sad. Remember, he went to the altar like this, praying. And the man of God met her there. Said, look, I have told you people, whenever you are drunk, don't come near this altar. Okay? Do your nonsense outside. You're drinking everything. And what did he say? He said, my Lord, I'm not drunk. I'm only telling God what I want him to do for me. What is bothering me? And the man of God says, sorry, if that is the case. The Lord answered your prayer. And lo and behold, she said, amen. And immediately, her countenance changed. That is faith. Do you have such faith? Her countenance was no more sad. Sadness closes the door of miracles, while gladness opens your door with God. During the open heavens, we are told that, Congress that just finished, if you have prayed and prayed and prayed and nothing happened, instead of being sad, go into praise what? Worship. Go into thanksgiving. Thank God. Begin to thank him for those things that you are praying for. Let your countenance change. Her countenance was no more sad. The joy of the Lord is a key of being remembered by God. Amen? So God can remember you if you are always joyful in his presence. Number one. Number two, you must make Jesus your Savior and your Lord. Don't let us deceive ourselves. There is no any power from anywhere, any other place. There was a testimony that I sent to some of our people about one man of God in Nigeria who was born a native doctor, a witchcraft, a witch, or a wizard. Practice all the arts of witchcraft and everything, and will go to anywhere to obtain power. Know all the Ifa something off head. You know, Yorubas, they don't have red writing. That's the problem our traditional medicine also lack. Those things are not written down. And then unfortunately, I don't know why, in scientific field, when you discover something, you share it with your people. People of the same, at the same level of scientists. We call it peer review. But in Yoruba traditional medicine, it's not like that. You look at that person you want to share it with as somebody wants to steal away your power. And so they don't usually share those powers when they have it. But they do seek for power, higher power, upon power, upon power. You know, and this man will continue to seek for power and power and power until one day they wanted to harm somebody. And the minute they wanted to harm that somebody, they've already gathered the way they gathered. They were looking at that person in their own traditional CCTV. You know the traditional CCTV? It's either water or a mirror. They were looking at the guy, and they saw the guy. This one is powerless now. This one has no power. They assess him because he was not putting on, the way they saw him, trying to deliver somebody. He was about to pray for a sister for deliverance. And they look at him, this one has no power. We can deal with this. But immediately the man shouted, in the name of Jesus. That was the last thing they had. The traditional CCTV just closed. Boom. They tried all their possible best to bring the CCTV back. It never worked. this young man.
Then he decided to attack that young man. In the process of attacking the young man, the man become the leader, become born again, became a Christian. But he was born wuru-wuru, he was not really born again. He was taken for power, the power that man is using. I said, they will get to their church, they will be saying, Baba, Baba, in the name of the Father. One day, he now decided that, look, I want to clean the church. Okay? I just want to clean the church. Just, he said, there is nowhere did not open that day because he was looking for the Baba that they were calling. The Father that these people always go, where did they put him? You know? At the end of the day, he went to his village, removed all the so-called traditional jargons and messing that he has, burned everything to pieces, but he retained one. He said, in case Jesus failed. You know? So one day, they were just going to say, oh, it's time for service. They had him chanting incantation. This brother is still in this thing. The brother eventually reported to the pastors. So after the service, they called him. And he told them bluntly, yeah, in case your Jesus failed, that's why I retained that. He said, Jesus cannot fail, Jesus. He said, no. Then he warned them. They said he should go and bring the last thing he has. He brought it, said it was a small coffin with a book inside that he has been warned that nobody should open. And the coffin is open with incantation. It's closed with incantation. It's not that you just open it and, no. He shattered the incantation, something opened, quite okay. It opened. But he said the book inside, nobody should read it. He said he collected it from one and John, one evil spirit, gave this something to him. In those days when they're seeking the evil spirit all over. Nobody must open. He said if you read it, the central figure in that something, they've been warned. Never to read the name there. Never to read anything there. Anybody who reads it will rot on mad. And this brother said, we will read it. He said, you will turn mad, though. The pastors ran away that day. One of the brothers says, no, we shouldn't. How can I translate that? Don't let us check out the devil's work. That one left. The pastor also left. But this brother, who was the center point of their target, said, no, I will open this thing. He said, Brother Shola was his name. You will turn mad, though. The brother was warning him. You will run mad. He said, no, I will. Okay, he said, okay. There are three of us here now. Close all the windows. You, brother, stay around so that if I run mad, you can, tie me down. You know? And the other guy was warning them, the owner of the coffin, was warning them, you will run mad, though. You will run. When the man eventually tore the thing open and read it, he shouted. And he said, didn't I tell you? Didn't I tell you? He's mad, he's mad. I said, I'm not mad. You come and read this thing. What was inside that thing that they said they should not see? The name of Jesus, the man of Calvary, the man, Jesus Christ. He said it was written in two languages. It was written in their Anjanu language, and it was written in English. The man couldn't read the strange language, but he was able to read the English. The man who went to him to read along with him also shouted. He said, wow. And he was saying, yeah, I'm not mad. You yourself come and read it. And it gave me a better understanding because I've once listened to Shock, this man in Texas, Shock Swindle, talking about the name that's above every other name. And why at the mention of that name, every knee must bow and every tongue shall confess. He said, tongues in heaven, on earth, and underneath the earth. Then he explained further, who are the powers underneath the earth? Said, members of the dark, evil cults, wherever they are, they will bow at the name. So please, don't let anybody deceive you that there is any other power above the name of Jesus. Make Jesus your Lord and Savior. Number two, be violent in your prayers. Rachel envied her sister. She said unto Jacob, "Give me children, or else I die." That's a powerful prayer. But he was praying to the wrong person, because he thought Jacob was the manufacturer of children. You know, and Jacob told her, "Am I God? If you want children, whom do you go to?" And she went to God. She was desperate. So you must be desperate for God, meaning God or nothing else. Matthew 11:12 says, "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God suffered at what? Violence. And the violence taketh it by force." And then James 5:16 confirmed that effectual fervent prayer, you know, do what? Availeth much. That's power. Number four, be joyful. Being joyful is a key to being remembered by God. Dance and praise Him. Don't let your problem dictate your state of mind. Come before Him at all times. Rejoice in Him. 1 Samuel 1:18-19. "It is neither cheap nor common for God to remember me. Therefore, I will dance specifically and uniquely for God to remember me among all the inhabitants of the earth. I cannot hold my shout, make a joyful noise to the king." That's what that passage is telling us. And then finally, do a violent offerings. Violent offerings. A violent offering is that which you want to give, but your hand refuses to move. You know, there are some offerings like that. This is a violent offering. So you have it to close your eyes and say, this must go, this must go. Usually, a very sacrificial offering. It's not easy. We find it to give when it is small. No doubt about that. But when it is big, you will be asking yourself, "Are you sure this one is going? Are you sure this one is going?" Yes, it has to go. Getting the widow's Christmas fund, we increase it by I increase it by 10,000. I usually give the widows, and they are increasing every year. It started from the family. Now some friends said, "Oh, there are some widows in my family." I said, "Bring their names." This one will say, "Okay, when I went to Nigeria, two additional widows were added. And the number was, and God told me, how much are you giving? It's not even $100. Then I said, "Okay, I will increase it to $100. So that each widow will get $35,000, and that's just $100. But do you know that gathering that money together for the widow was very, very difficult? When I was expecting a two-week pay, because I went to Nigeria, only work for 1 week, and you know America, the money just came, and it was, I said, "But I'm entitled to 1 week free pay." It was then I realized that I spent 2 weeks in Nigeria. And I began to wonder, it was very tough. So I didn't allow the money to, accumulate too much. Once I have it, I send it. Once I have it, when the money now accumulated into the account, yes. It was very easy to do. But I look at myself, it was tough. That is the type of offering God wants from us. And you know the Bible says, whosoever gives to the widow, James 1:27. True religion. Yeah, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. To do what? To visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. A man of God on Moody Radio, while I was listening, said, "Why is it called pure religion? Pure religion is the type of something you do, and you don't expect a thank you, even a thank you, from those people. You are giving because you know they cannot even give you back." That's the type of giving God wants. You know these people I'm giving this thing cannot even say thank you if possible. Or the worst he could say, the best that can come from that individual is thank you. He or she can never repay you.
That's the type of giving that God wants us to give. We call it violent giving. And lastly, you must be obedient. Amen? Gio gave example of that wedding in Cana, in Galilee, Cana of Galilee. No? The man ran out of wedding. And shame was about to be brought to the man. But what happened? What did Jesus tell them? Just fill those empty bottles with what? And they obey. If for example, they didn't obey, would there have been new wine? No. And the MC was so surprised and said, come, Mr. Bridegroom, where did you keep all this beautiful wine until this time? You're supposed to have brought it, early enough. And they now told the MC where the wine has come from. Let's be on our feet this morning. Lift up your hands. I want us to shout hallelujah with the voice of triumph this morning. Praise the Lord! Begin to thank him, begin to bless him, begin to thank him. Begin to bless him, begin to worship him. Thank him for remembering you. Thank him for writing your name in the book of life. Thank him for remembering his church. Thank him for wiping away your sorrow. Thank him for remembering your labor of love. Thank him for taking your reproach away. Thank him for delivering you. Thank him for supernatural openings. Thank him for fulfilling your desire and your longings. Thank him for adding to his church. Thank him for forgiveness of your sins. Thank him. In Jesus' mighty name, we have given thanks. I want to declare that you have come to your season. I have come into my program's time. I have come into my scheduled moments. I decree that like Anna did, gates are opened unto me. The doors of my womb are opened. The doors of prosperity is opened unto me. Doors of favor is open unto me. Doors of ministry, effectual ministry, is open unto me. Doors of increase is open unto me. Doors of blessing is open unto me and my generation. Doors of promotion is open unto me. Brethren, talk to God this morning. Doors of light is open unto me. Let every door be open unto me in the mighty name of. Decree and declare. Open your mouth. I have come to my program time. I have come into my scheduled moment. I decree it like Anna did. Gates are open unto me. Doors of my womb are open. My financial womb. My spiritual womb. My physical womb is opened. Doors of success is open unto me. Doors of prosperity is open unto me. Doors of favor. Doors of ministry. Doors of increase. Doors of blessing. Doors of promotion. Doors of light. It's open unto me in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Doors are open unto me. Because of grace and mercy, let today mark the end of every judgment against me and my family. Talk to God. Is there anyone that has judged you? Is there anyone planning to judge you? Today marks an end
The Bible said the prayer of the terrible shall be delivered. And lawful captive shall be set free. Where I have been a lawful captive, Lord, set me free according to your word. Where I have been a lawful captive, Father, set me free. I hang on to your word that says the prayer of the terrible shall be delivered and lawful captive shall be set free. Lord, where I have committed sin and I have knowingly walked into captivity, today, Lord, set me free according to your word. Set me free. I am free. I declare deliverance of my loved ones, my father, my mother, my children. The yoke is broken. My grandchildren, the yoke is broken in their life. I prophesy the end to my reproach. I prophesy an end to my reproach in the mighty name of Jesus.
So shall it be in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son,
amen,
and in the name of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the living Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Before we take our offering, can we please stretch our hands onto our pastor and bless him? He has blessed us this morning. Can we pray for him? Can we pray for him that the Lord will remember him, the Lord will remember him today? Pray for him that as he has encouraged us in the word, the Lord will encourage him. The Lord will remember him, and the Lord will get involved in his situation in Jesus' name. Please, let's pray for him. Let's pray for him that, you know, as he continues to do the work, the word shall not stand against him in Jesus' name. And everything that he has decreed, the Lord will make him an extraordinary pastor in Jesus' name. He will not be ordinary in everything that he is doing. He will not be ordinary in everything he lays his hands on. He shall be extraordinary. His works shall be extraordinary. For we have prayed in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus.
Hallelujah.
What a powerful